you can, if you can give, if you can give God a hand of praise this morning. And while you are clapping, if we could put our hands together for our band and our praise and worship team. Didn't they sound great today? What a saint, what y'all ran on today. And also, put your hands together for the dream team, for the greeters, for the sound, for the lights, for the recording that's happening right now. Bless God for each and every one of you. And put your hands together for you. We thank God for you. Listen, it's not arrogant. You are putting your hands together thanking God that you're here this morning. Keep on clapping. Clap for the person that's next to you. No, glad that you're here with us this morning. So last week was breakthrough. Let us say breakthrough. This week we're still fasting by faith, embarking on a spiritual journey with God. But this week our title is called Problem Solved. Let the church say problem solved. We're coming from the book of Ezra in the Old Testament. Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 to 23. Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 to 23. And it reads as following. Thereby the Ahavakanal, I, and that's Ezra speaking, proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road, because we had told the king, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. So last week, again, we talked about breakthroughs with the topic, something's got a hold on me, and the fast was called the Disciples' Fast. But this week, we're going to deal with fasting to solve problems. The clip we just saw were two illustrations to solve problems. Now, let's be clear before I move on any further. Problems are inevitable. I can't stand here and promise a problem-free life, but there is a way to solve our problems with God's guidance. The first clip showed solving problems, but the first clip showed the birds solving problems with strife, with division, without caring for others, and at the end, they ended up having their feathers plucked. Amen. The second clip shows what happens when you partner with each other to be a blessing and problems can be solved. In fact, I want to argue that you can partner with God, not only you can be a blessing, but you can come up with a plan using the gifts that God has given you. The sermon will highlight today what God does that we can celebrate, the part God can play in our problem-solving scenarios, and watch this, our responsibility when we are fasting and looking for a solution. Let the church say problem solved.
Problem solved.
Come on, say it like you want your problem solved. Let us say problem solved.
Problem solved.
Right. So the first point today, again, only 2 points for us today. The first point today is God did it. God did it. This book is named after Ezra. And he talks about how the people of God came out of Babylonian captivity. Let the church say God did it. They have been overtaken by the Babylonians, but now they are in a place of freedom. Let the church say, God did it.
God did it.
Keep in mind that they are not fighting their way out. They are not using might to muscle their way out. They are not utilizing any other source to accentuate the momentum of their departure. When there's nothing I can do, I'm grateful for a God who specializes in the impossible. Let the church say, God did it. How is this happening? The ones who overtook them were overtaken. The Babylonians were overtaken by the Persians, and the Persian king was moved not only to let the people go, but go back to rebuild what was broken, rebuild the temple so that God can get the glory. When God does it, the results must end up pointing the attention back to the Lord. In chapter 1 of Ezra, the people are freed because the word of God needs to be fulfilled through their freedom. The people are freed because the Lord stirred the spirit of the Persian king to make a change in the government. When God does it in your life, he's fulfilling promises in his word over your life. When God does it, even the government will be stirred to be a part of his plan to be a blessing to you. So let me tell you, resurgent, stop believing that you are under what a political regime is deciding. You are under what God is working out, and God did it. If you believe that, give God some praise this morning. And before we get to a place of self-denial and fasting for problems to be solved, our fasting or this fast will be powered by the belief that God can do it. You need some Bible. Daniel, how did you survive the Babylonians and the lion's den? God did it. Three Hebrew boys, how do you survive the fiery furnace? God did it. Esther, how did you move the heart of the king to save your people? God did it. Mary, how did you manage the unplanned pregnancy of the Savior of the world? God did it. Ruth, how did you bounce back after you lost your husband? Hannah, how did you survive the ridicule of being barren for a season? Peter, how did you walk on water with your Aaron Nazareth on? Let the church say, God did it. Come on. The Bible says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let the church say, God did it. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Let the church say, God did it. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to find help in the time of need. Let the church say, God did it. In fact, is there a God did it shout in the church this morning? You were faced with odds. People were depending on you, but God still came through right in the nick of time. If you believe that, give God some praise. God did it. God did it. Watch this. For some of us, God did it so well that our outward appearance doesn't match what God brought us through. Uh-oh. I've seen some of y'all walk. Some of y'all look real well maintained. Some of y'all look in shape. Some of y'all are smiling. But if somebody knew your story, if somebody knew your trials, if somebody knew the distance that God brought you, you got a different shout this morning. And then watch this. Then God decided to use you as a billboard for his glory. He kept you emotionally. He kept you physically. He kept you spiritually. So you can stand today and say, I don't look like what I've been through, but what I can say is God did it. If you believe that this morning, come on, give God some praise. And can we be honest that each person that I mentioned in the shout that we just had this morning is not just that God's doing it, but we don't turn our back on God when problems arise. When things get rough, Daniel stayed. When things got rough, the three Hebrew boys stayed. When things get rough, you decided to say, don't give up. He can still do it. John 15:1-5 gives us this language. John lets us know that God is the gardener. And I need to stay with the gardener no matter what season I find myself in. If I leave the gardener, then I can't bear any fruit. If I stay with the gardener, there's still going to be some problems which are called pruning, but it doesn't benefit me to turn away from the one who has my best interest at heart when problems arise. When problems arise, we sometimes don't allow the gardener to work it out or for God to fix it because our approach to problems is a messed up demeanor. When problems show up, we say, why me? When problems show up, we say, why now? When problems show up, we say, why this? And then our attitude is this. Problems are showing up because I'm unusual. Problems are showing up because I'm unspiritual. Problems are showing up because God has forsaken me. The Bible says in Matthew 5:45, after Jesus tells us to love people, God says he causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And God sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So can I encourage somebody today that if the problem is a pruning problem with God, don't let go of his hand. God can still do it. If the problem is you're in a raining season, don't worry. God is still with you as the rain is falling. I need you to get this in your spirit this morning. Watch this. You can't run from your problems. You can't keep problems from happening. But with God, the problems do have an equation and an expiration. Oh, with God, the problems, saying the word, lets us know weeping only endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That means if I stick with God, even in the night season, the equation lets me know that God will work things out when his sun rises. If you are willing to stay with God, even when problems arise, give God some praise in this house. Now, I ain't got everybody yet. I'm going to tell you why. Because there's a praise behind God can do it, but that speaks to God's ability. But I'm even more excited about God's willingness to do it. Yeah. Brother Kenyon, why are the people of God in captivity? They're God's folks. Why do they need to be rescued? How did they get there in the first place? The people went against God's plan for them. The people were willingly disobedient. The people disobeyed the Lord after countless warnings and blessings. And yet, God was willing to save them. Let the church say willing. God has the skill, God has the proficiency, God has the majesty to do anything. But because of his love for us, God has the capacity to have the desire to help us even after we're disobedient. Some of our shouts this morning are about God solving problems that I didn't have a hand in causing. But some of us have a praise that God saved us after I was willingly disobedient. Oh, it's quiet in there. God saved me when I started the drama in the group text. God saved me after I crashed out and I was a little tipsy. God saved me when we started the ball rolling and the drama almost ruined the season for me. So when we sing the song, "It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord," saying in need of prayer, it's not just about what happened to me, but God, I'm grateful that you're willing to save me even when I don't deserve it. Oh, you don't got to get quiet on that. That's a strong praise, because it's easy to praise when it wasn't my fault, but it's a deeper praise when I know I was the one that caused it. I know I was the one that stopped praying. I know I was the one that answered the "what you doing" text at whatever time in the morning, but God still blessed me, loved me, saved me, pulled me out. That's a real. Now, is there a God did it praise for that in the house this morning? It's not just he did it, but he's willing to love us even in our mess. If you believe that, give God some praise. God did it, 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 God did it. I keep on hearing DJ Khaled in my head. I'm sorry. God did it, God did it. All right. Then next point, next point, next point. Let church say problem solved.
Problem solved.
So in Ezra 8, there's a return to Jerusalem with families, an objective to rebuild the temple and start their lives in earnest. Let the church say it's a comeback. Traveling with Ezra are families, silver and gold, and other resources. Ezra has the authority to move from the kingdom we talked about earlier. Ezra has the responsibility of the families under his care. Ezra even has folks in line to take care of the temple once it's back up and running. Let the church say it's a comeback. But the problem is, which road do I take to get us to the destination that we are on? I know victory is attainable, but how do I arrive at my destination to complete this comeback in my life? God has gifted. God has revived. You have a new lease on life. God has stirred the leadership. But Ezra, you can't drop the ball here, because some roads to Jerusalem are filled with people that want to rob and steal from you. Some roads are filled with people who are not happy that you are reconnecting to God. So Ezra is fasting to humble the people before God and to ask God for a safe journey. For some of us, you are right here, just like Ezra. God has given you the next chance, the open door for opportunity. You know that God did it, but you also know that these next steps in your life are crucial. And before you make a wrong move, God, I'm going to humble myself. My team is going to humble themselves, and we're going to ask for safe passage. Why humble? Because last time we weren't. So this time, I'm not asking arrogantly. I'm asking with full knowledge that I'm experiencing your grace, God. And before I take another step, I'm pausing to wait on you and follow your lead. Ezra does not fast as he's traveling. Ezra does not fast before everybody gets there. Ezra does not try to solve the problem before fasting. Too often when problems arise, we want the problem solved, and when everything else fails, then we fast. When everything else fails, then we pray. When everything else fails, then we come to church. But the challenge is, if you are praying and fasting for problems to be solved, the challenge is your timing and going to God first. So watch this, and I'm almost done. I'm praying for God for the right way to go. But God, I'm also asking that you download the ingenuity and the genius. Holy Spirit, unlock the intelligence that is already inside of me so that I can execute the pathway that you are giving to me. In this fast, God is not asking you to be relegated to just fasting and praying. But God is asking for us to be an active participant in planning through the problem. God never made bricks. He just gave us clay. God never made chairs. He just gave us trees. God says, I can do what you're asking me to do, but what plan are you coming up with to partner with the resources that I'm providing to you? Can you take the word? Can you line up with the Holy Spirit? Can you evaluate the options to come up with a plan so that as God is solving the problem, you can take advantage of God's covering? Too often we sit and say the following, I'm waiting on God. And God is in juxtaposition, say, no, man of God, woman of God, I'm waiting on you. It's quiet. I'm almost done. Amen. When Jesus healed, he did the healing, but there had to be an acceptance, a confession, a willingness to partner to bring this miraculous into activation. Man at the pool of Bethesda, you got to answer in order to be made well. Blind man, you have to answer if you want to see. To the unsaved, you have to answer the accepting the gift of salvation. So whether it's a relationship, whether you need some rest, whether you're running a business, whether you're being a blessing, God is setting the atmosphere. But what are you doing to couple with God's grace so that the resources God is providing to you help you get you to your destination? And is there a shout in the building who has taken God up on his offer and added your effort to God's solution? Watch this. I prayed and I applied. I prayed and I applied. I prayed and then I applied again. And I didn't stay defeated until the door was open for the new job. Ooh, watch this. I went to where the quality people were and I asked for discernment. So this time when I gave out my phone number, it was to the right one, not just the one that looked right for the evening. Okay. I didn't just pray about it, but I went on the auditions and I practiced. And I prepared and I partnered with others so that when the big break came, I was ready to take advantage of what God had predestined for me. If you believe that, give God some praise. It would be errant for me to start this fast and just tell you to sit and wait on the Lord. Oh, you can play. That's fine. Because part of this is the partnership. What I didn't read was as God was providing the covering, Ezra was doing the planning. Ezra decided to take the gold that I mentioned and divide it among the 12 tribes. So just in case we get hit, everybody doesn't get taken out. Ezra decided to make sure that not just the tribe, but let me give it to the priest, because I know the priest will take it to the temple. And verse 31 lets us know that when they arrived where they were supposed to arrive to in Jerusalem, everything worked out. That's a praise right there. Some of us get, Some of us love the fact that God can do it, but we don't want a plan. You're waiting on God to move. You're waiting on God to change. You're waiting for God to shift it. And God said, I will provide the protection. But what are you planning as I'm protecting you?
Come on.
You have a genius. You have a skill set. You have a power. You have what I've already given you. And yes, you can't decide when the robbers are going to show up. Don't worry, I got them. But as you are walking, what is the plan? As you are fasting, if you're not sure, ask God for the ingenuity for the plan. Some of us are at point A and we want to get to point B, and you are waiting at your temple doors for God to do it. And God says, I'm not going to do it for you. I need you to put one foot in front of the other, because I'm not asking you to do it for me, but I'm asking you to trust by faith that if you plan it, I'll make sure that you're covered. And is there a shout this morning who took God at his word, went with a plan, and God showed up to bless? Come on, there's a bigger shout than that. God showed up to bless you tremendously. So how can we apply this? 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 Good decisions. I can make good decisions on good information. I can make bad decisions on bad information. Without any information, I can make lucky decisions. Good is good. Bad is bad. Lucky is a mess. But I want anointed decision making. So if we look to the screen, I got some steps. It's the teacher in me. I got some steps. First, we want to fast and pray. Let the church say fast and pray.
Fast and pray.
Asking God for help. Have a clear mind for decision making and a plan that needs to be downloaded. Then I need you to get the facts. Let the church say get the facts.
Get the facts.
Collect the data about the situation you find yourself facing. Next, I want you to establish biblical principles. Let the church say biblical principles.
Biblical principles.
What does the word say about what I'm dealing with? Are you still with me?
Yes.
Next one, evaluate the facts. Let the church say evaluate.
Evaluate.
And compare what should be done based on the information that I collected. Two more. Next one, determine various solutions to the problem. Because there's going to be different ones that you have to look at and deal with. And finally, choose the best solution. Those are the steps that I want you to take if you're deciding during this period. If you have a problem that needs to be solved, and you're going to deal with the Ezra fast.